Many families of 9/11 victims still want to see classified documents on what the government knew in advance of the attacks. For instance, how closely was Washington following Al-Qaeda members? And did the hijackers have links to the government of Saudi Arabia, an ally of Washington? Last weekend, the Biden administration declassified the first document ordered by the president. It's a long-secret FBI report. No smoking gun, but let's bring in Tim Golden. He's writer and editor at ProPublica and has been chasing these questions for years. Hi, Tim.
Thanks very much for having me.
Yeah, and first, tell us, what is this report? Who wrote it and why?
This is a report by what was called Operation Encore. That was a decade-long follow-on to the original FBI investigation of the 9/11 plot. And that whole investigation had really been almost entirely secret until we first reported on it extensively last year. And this report that came out on the anniversary of the attacks was a kind of compendium of circumstantial evidence and leads that had been developed by the Operation Encore team. It is kind of an inventory of different pieces of evidence that were found connecting particularly a couple of Saudis linked to the Saudi government with two of the hijackers, who were the first two men from the plot who arrived in the United States in January of 2000.
In this document, what more do we learn about direct, indirect ties between the hijackers and the Saudi government, the Saudi consulate in the U.S.?
It had always been known that two of the hijackers had met up with a kind of a shadowy Saudi man who was a graduate student in San Diego and who claimed to have run into them by chance at a little restaurant in Los Angeles. And what turns out, according to this document, is the meeting seemed much more deliberate and almost kind of a secretive operation to connect them right after this Saudi had left another meeting at the Saudi consulate in Los Angeles and had gone directly to wait for them at a particular restaurant. He then invited them to San Diego. He found them an apartment immediately. He lent them money briefly, and he helped them in all sorts of other ways. And these were two guys who, although they were pretty well trained as terrorists, really couldn't speak English at all, couldn't understand street signs, couldn't navigate their way around a Western society. So they were sort of lost without significant help.
Yeah. And as you kind of step back and look at these big investigative questions, you know, how important is this new knowledge, you think?
Well, I think it adds to the picture in a pretty significant way. What it shows you is that this Saudi, who had already been investigated by the FBI as a spy before 9/11, was in touch with some other Saudi government officials who were part of the religious bureaucracy of the kingdom and were also assigned in the United States as diplomatic personnel. And those two Saudi religious officials, in turn, had a whole bunch of connections to other militants, to people who were connected to Al-Qaeda, to people who were connected to other terrorist plots. So the picture has really gotten much more complicated.
As you're describing it, these are important connections to understand more about. We're here 20 years later. This document is heavily redacted. The victims' families are asking for a lot more from the government. Why would the federal government, this administration, previous administrations at this point want to be so secretive?
You know, that's a great question. That has been one of the big questions surrounding this entire episode. What are they hiding? And it's really striking to see this document that the Attorney General of the United States, Bill Barr, during the Trump administration, went to court to assert that this was a state secret, that the publication of this document could imperil the security of the nation. And when you read this, you think, well, this is certainly embarrassing. It certainly suggests that a couple of lower-level Saudi religious figures had some connections to these hijackers and to possibly to militants or terrorism that was not known. But it doesn't look anything to me like a state secret. And, you know, I've done a lot of reporting in this area. So I think what is still being held back and why are really big questions here.
The families of some of the victims have a lawsuit against the Saudi government. Does this push them, you know, any further in the direction they want to go?
I think it helps them maybe to get some more documents. And it's not entirely clear that they have to hold the Saudi government you know, from the top down responsible, but they do have to find that Saudis who were agents, acting as agents of the government, knew that there were bad actors here and, you know, helped them nonetheless.
And finally, do we have any expectation that more of these kinds of documents are going to be declassified by the Biden administration?
Well, the president issued an executive order about a week before 9/11, and that was under a lot of pressure from the families who asked him to not turn up at anniversary events if he wasn't going to disclose more information. In that executive order, he has promised to disclose a whole bunch more documents, but I think the families, while they were encouraged to see this document that just came out on Saturday, are still, you know, somewhat skeptical, because the same kind of promises have been made by every administration going back to George W. Bush, and they have really been disappointed by each one in turn.
Yeah. And just very quickly, the Saudi government, any response for them? Are they still denying any involvement here?
The Saudi government has always denied having any involvement in the 9/11 plot, and it continues to do so. But there's a lot of questions that remain unanswered here.
All right, Tim Golden, editor-at-large at ProPublica. Tim, thanks for the time.
Thank you.